Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. This evening, if you'd open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. And I would like to take a study in the attitude of Christ. This being number 126 in our series on Christ as the mystery of God revealed. Number 7 in our mini-series on the Christian life. And I'd just like to call it the attitude of Christ. Therefore, if we can open our Bibles to Philippians and begin reading from the first verse of chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as we have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Aphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministereth to my wants. But he longed after you, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard him that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick near death. But God had mercy upon him, and not only him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was near to death, not regarding his own life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we have seen where the Apostle Paul was speaking of the attitude of Christ and of the brethren that placed the needs of the people above their own needs. And we pray that this attitude that was in Christ might be in us. And now we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening I would like to focus pure thoughts, our thoughts, on 5 points to consider when we think of our attitude and how it either reflects the attitude of Christ or it doesn't. Number one, I want to show you that having the right mental attitude is. Number two, I want to show you what the right mental attitude will produce. Number three, I want to show you why we must have the right mental attitude. And number four, I want to show you how our mental attitude affects those around us. And number five, I want to show you how a wrong attitude can cripple our walk and the walk of those that we have influence over. As Brother Glenn before service read that quote from Brother Branham about how your lacking in prayer can actually cripple a service. And so sometimes we show the negative so that you can be affected by the positive. Now to begin with, we must know that what a right mental attitude is. In order to know what a right mental attitude is, we must first understand what is an attitude. Well, number one, what having the right mental attitude is. Now, Webster's dictionary defines attitude as aptness or inclination and further states a position or posture assumed by the body in connection with an action, feeling, or mood. So if you're sitting in the back and you're got your eyes closed and you're half asleep, that shows that your attitude toward receiving the word is not the same as perhaps mine would be up here trying to use energy and deliver you the message. In other words, your attitude, your body language actually shows a lot of what's going on up in here and what's going on in here. Years ago, I took a course on negotiations, and I had a lot of courses in negotiation, but this particular course was on body language. And they used it in the Paris Peace Talks, probably before many of you were even born, in the 60s. And when they got together, it was with the Russians and the different ones, and they were trying to work out something on the, remember when they had the Iron Curtain? Any of you remember the Iron Curtain? I know some of us older ones do, but some of you younger ones, you wouldn't remember that. But anyway, they spent a year and a half negotiating just the shape of the table. A year and a half negotiating the shape of the table. Well, body language is actually, it's an art, it's a science. And what Webster's is saying is that the position of the body in connection with an attitude or action or feeling or mood can actually give away. Would you have your daughter? She's making faces back there. The word attitude is also defined as a manner of acting, feeling, or thinking that shows one's disposition or opinion. Now, if you caught the main points in each of these definitions, the first stating that attitude is a posture or position of the body in reference to or in connection with an action, a feeling, a mood, and the other is the action, feeling, or thinking that shows your opinion, disposition, or mindset. In other words, what you do reflects on the outside. What you're doing with your body reflects what's going on in the inside. So we're looking at the position or posture of the body and those attributes that show when you're thinking, and they actually, or what you're feeling, they actually express what your mood is. Therefore, attitude is not just a mental cognizance or a mental understanding or a mental leaning. It's actually, an attitude is an outward expression of our disposition. It is an outward expression of our feeling. It is an outward expression of our thoughts. It is the connection of the body to the spirit, to the thoughts. And how the body expresses those thoughts, that's what an attitude is. Now remember, Paul told us that we were written epistles, written in our flesh, to show the world the attitude of Christ. And Brother Brown said Jesus Christ was the attitude of God. He was the expression of God's attitude. The key is that it shows how we feel. It shows just what we think about something. So if you're a written epistle, it's actually showing what's going on in here, or actually in here. The Bible tells us that God would send forth an angel to mark those who would sigh and cry for the abominations done in the city. The sighing and crying is the body's response to what is being done in the city, and that's an outward expression of what their attitude was inside their soul. Your attitude then shows outwardly what you're thinking inwardly. You can hide an attitude, but it'll show. I mean, you can hide it with your words, but it'll show. You can go into a room and not say a word, but your attitude can permeate the room. You see, it'll manifest. You might be able to hide your thoughts, but an attitude goes way beyond inner thoughts. Attitude speaks of the expression of your disposition. The way that you show it in your body language, in your eyes, in your facial expressions, in your tone of voice, in your posture. Therefore, attitude is the expression of your opinion and your disposition. Now, the word disposition comes from two words, dis and position. Together, they speak of putting in order, and it refers to the normal aspects of one's nature. Therefore, what we see in attitude is a disposition or the setting in order or the outward reflection of one's true character. Now, I know there's a lot of, sounds like you're in school or something, a lot of words, but what I'm trying to basically say is that we are a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. And your body will manifest what's going on inside. So we come to point number one. What is the right mental attitude then? Well, to have the right mental attitude means that you must first have to have the right thoughts about whatever the object of your thinking is. You can't have a right mental attitude if you have a wrong understanding. And that means that you must have the right opinion. And there's only one right opinion, and that's God's opinion. So as Brother Branham said, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. And the right mental attitude is, it's thus saith the Lord. In other words, God said it, doesn't matter what anybody else says. If God said it, then that's it. What does God think about it? Because his thoughts are not our thoughts. For his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And if we are to have a right thinking about anything, it must be what God thinks about it. And in order to know what God's thoughts are about anything, it must come through the instrument of his word. For out of the abundance of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Therefore, if we are to have the right attitude, then we must have the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The NIV translates this way, let the attitude that was in Christ be in you. So you can't have the attitude of Christ if you don't have the mind of Christ. You see? And the word mind here was the same Greek word, phronio, that Paul used when he talked about Timothy being like-minded. Let this mind that was in Christ be in you. That's the key that Paul is bringing to us here. And it is a gift from God that only those whom God chooses can receive this gift. Notice Paul says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. And notice then that it is according to Christ Jesus, the anointed Jesus. So we see that God has given us a gift to be like-minded, and not only to be like-minded, but like-minded towards one another. And notice he tells us according to Christ Jesus. In other words, like-minded toward one another as Christ would be toward that person. So when you look at that person, don't be looking at the person you know. Look at the person Christ knows. Now, the only way that we can be like-minded is if we have the same mind. So he's telling us here the same thing that he tells us in Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we know this can only come if God ordains it to come. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, we read, but as many as received him, and the word received was from a Greek word lambano, and it means to take into oneself. It means to hold on to take possession of, to appropriate to oneself, i.e. to catch, to reach out, to reach after, to strive, or to obtain. So he says, but as many as received him, as many as actually made an effort to hold on to him, to them gave he power. Now that word is not dunamis, which is a miraculous working power, but it's actually the Greek word exousia, and it means the ability to make a right decision. So as many as held on to him, to them gave he power to make a right decision. Right decision according to what? To them gave he power to become the sons of God. You see? In other words, you're a son of God. John said you're already sons of God, but it doesn't appear to be. But we know when he appears, we should be like him, for we'll see him as he is. But the fact is, you already are, but he gives you an ability to become what you already are, even though you don't appear to be. All right, now. Now that we understand what a right mental attitude is, that it is an expression of God's opinion, living itself and expressing itself in our bodies, the next thing we must look at is number two. What we want to look at tonight is a right mental attitude, what it will produce. Because let's face it, if you have an attitude, there's got to be something that attitude will produce. I mean, how many have ever interviewed people in here for jobs? All right. You know, when you're interviewing a person, it's not so much what they know, but it's their attitude. You're looking for someone who's teachable. You're looking for someone who's got good chemistry. You're looking for someone who can get along with the other people in the department. Well, see, that's what God is looking in his family. You know, he wants to adopt those sons who are going to get along with the other sons. And so from I am the resurrection and life, Brother Bram said, it's your attitude towards it. Your attitude towards God's divine gift will get you just what you ask for. Do you understand? Oh, how I'd like to stop right here, Brother Bose, and punch at that for just a half hour or so, but I can't do it. We don't have time. But your attitude, God can send a gift, and no matter what you, it depends on what attitude you take towards it. Look at them who smote his face and spit on him, and everything else was no virtue at all. There was a woman that believed the word, touched the hem of his garment, and was healed. Is that right? All right. It depends on what you think about it. God sends it. And it's your attitude towards any divine gift determines what you get out of it. Look at how Jesus could do no miracles in, Nazareth? Anyway, when he went home, he could do no miracles because the people's unbelief. That was God incarnate in the man, could not do anything. There was no supernatural expression because there's no people pulling for a supernatural expression. They just said, oh, isn't this Mary's kid? Well, in Hebrews 11, verse 1 tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things that we don't even see. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God hath translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called out to go into a place where which he should afterward receive as an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange land, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even one of them, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sands which are in the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful, that's the key, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. In other words, where's your focus? They were focused continually on the promise. If they'd been focused on what they left, you'd be certain of one thing, that they would have gone back. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he had received the promise, and he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall all seed be blessed. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because he saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who was invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as in dry land, which the Egyptians, the saying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them, because she had believed. When she had received the spies with peace. And what the more shall I say? For the time would fail me to speak of Gideon and Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the fire, the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not even worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in the caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they without us would not be made perfect. And so they went their entire life looking for the promise. Now, from proving his word, Brother Branham said, but before we pray for the sick, we've got to get the people in that attitude. Because it's the attitude that always brings the results. It's the attitude that you take towards God. Now here's a woman touched his garment. She was healed with a blood issue. A soldier spit in his face and put a crown of thorns on his head and felt no virtue. But it's your approach. The attitude is what it takes. And that's what it is tonight, dear friend. It takes the attitude. We are and believe that we are in the presence of Jesus Christ, but it's your attitude that will bring the results. The mechanics is here, and so is the dynamics. If you can get God started, God will do the rest. So we find in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 10, Paul says, or saith he altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. In other words, he's saying, look, it's your attitude. The farmer doesn't get out there to plow thinking he's not going to get anything. He puts in all that effort knowing that if he sows, he's going to reap. And if you sow to the world, you're going to reap of the world. But if you sow to God, you're going to reap eternal things. So see, the farmer plows in hope, expecting to reap from his efforts. You see, when you're sowing with an expectation, you sow with a right heart and a right mind, and thus a right attitude. But if you go through the motions without a true expectation, then your attitude's going to show it. In Romans 8, 24 to 25, we read, for we are saved by hope, that's an earnest expectation, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why would he yet hope for it? But if we through hope, or if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. In other words, if you do not see it, then you're still hoping. But when you have seen it, it shows that your hope has become manifested. Brother Bram said from the message, expectation. He said, for just a little text, if I should call it that, I want to speak for a moment or two on the word expectation. We always get what we expect. When people expect anything, well, then they usually get what they look for. It's the mental attitude that you have. Now remember this and never forget it. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God. It doesn't take gifts of healing to heal sick people. Any person in here has a right to meet Satan anywhere if you're a Christian and defeat him on any grounds that he could stand on. When Jesus Christ was here on earth and in him dwelled the fullness of the Godhead bodily, all the great powers of God was in his Son, Christ Jesus. For the scripture tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. All things was delivered unto him. Though he spoke nothing but what the Father told him, he healed no one but what he saw first to be healed. For he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself but what he seeth the Father do. That the Son doeth likewise. Now, Brother Branham said that you get what you expect. And you know, it's not an amazing thing that Jesus walked on water because he was the Son of God. But what was truly amazing is that Peter walked on water until he lost his focus. He lost his expectation. And the scripture tells us to be careful not to lose our reward. Now we're examining what an attitude is and what the right mental attitude is. Number one, we find that there is only one right attitude, and that is what God thinks about it, and his actions toward the object of the attitude. We found that Jesus Christ came to earth to display to the world God's attitude towards the world, the sinner, and the seed of God. Number two, we find that the right mental attitude will produce what it was meant to produce. We examined the scriptures and took a handful of people in the scriptures and examined their reaction to the word of God. Their reaction to the promise of God was their attitude towards God and his word, for he is the word. And we showed by many infallible scriptural proofs that the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. Look at all those people in the Old Testament as an example. Now remember the Roman centurion who simply said, "Just speak the word and my servant will be healed." He understood the authority and thus he got what he expected. From I am the resurrection and the life, Brother Ram said, it's your attitude towards it, your attitude towards God's divine gift, will get you just what you ask for. Do you understand? Oh, how I'd like to stop right there. It depends on what attitude you take towards it. It's your attitude towards any divine gift. It determines what you're going to get out of it. If we come to church thinking it's just going to be a social get-together, then that's what you're going to get out of it. But if you come to church believing that you're going to hear from God, you're actually going to hear from God, no matter how paltry the ministry might be or how paltry the preaching might be or even how the song service is, you're going to get something from it, you see, if you come looking. We examined in Hebrews 11, we read the examples of men and women who displayed the right mental attitude towards God's word, and we saw how they received the things that God promised for them. And that brings us to point number three. We must know why we must have the right mental attitude. It's not just having it, but knowing why. And that's the problem that we have with, you know, John 14:12, is because if the people truly had the right motives and the right objectives, you would see more of the works of God in the assembly of the believers. But because the people are not consecrated to it, you're not seeing it. Their attitude is just too cavalier. Brother Branham said the rapture could take place, and if you're not aware, it could pass through you, and you're going to miss it. That's the quote. And yet he also said it'd be so natural, it'd be like turning on a light. And yet, like Brother Vail said, if we don't have enough faith for healing, how are we going to have faith for a body change? Well, Brother Branham said the same thing. So the problem is that we have people who don't have faith for even their own healing. How do they think they're going to get faith enough to get a body change to get them out of here? It's time we got to start thinking about these things, getting our focus right and getting ourselves in the right attitude. As Brother Bram said, you put the little egg under the pup, and the warmth and the humidity of the little pup will hatch the egg. It's the atmosphere that produces the results. So we have to ask ourselves, are we walking in the right atmosphere? Are we creating? And listen, we're the messiahs. We're the creators. And are we creating that right atmosphere around us? As you know, Brother Bram said, you got two kind of people. He said you have certain people that you just don't like to be around them, because even though they're good people, but they're just, they're just going to talk about somebody or they're going to talk about something that's negative. They're just negative all the time. He said, so you stay away from them. But he said, then you find other people that you just love to be around them, because they're always talking of something that's very uplifting and they're very, placing you in heavenly places. So they create an atmosphere. All of us, we create an atmosphere. So the question is, what atmosphere are we creating? And how are we creating it? So we must know why we must have the right mental attitude. Now, there are several reasons why we must display the right mental attitude towards God's word. Number one, our attitude will produce a result depending on the attitude that we display. Even Deuteronomy 28 says, if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, you'll be blessed. And it also says, but if you don't hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, you'll be cursed. So there's cursing and blessing depending on your attitude. Number two, our attitude does not create an atmosphere, but rather expresses the atmosphere in which we live. It is the expression of the nature of your soul, and thus it creates an atmosphere around you of who you are. Your attitude with the attitude you express. In other words, let me just say it this way. You can't be happy by external things. You can only be happy if you're happy within. Too many people look to, they got to buy something all the time and make them happy. And then as soon as they've got that thing, and a couple months later, that new car gets a dent in it, gets a scratch in it, you're not happy anymore. And so they've got to feed themselves by buying, buying, buying. It's like our government, you know, they've got to feed themselves by spending, spending, spending. Comes a place where you can never find happiness in those things. You know, happiness comes from within. It comes from your content, as Paul said, being content in whatever state you're in. You should, you know, whether you have nothing or whether you have much, it shouldn't change whether you're happy or not. You see? So then our attitude, if our attitude, remember the definition of attitude was an expression through the body of what's going on in here. So then if our attitude is the expression of the nature of our soul, then it is that expression of the attitude, or the attitude is the expression, it creates the atmosphere around you. The atmosphere comes from within, and it creates around you. Then other people can be taken into your atmosphere, and they can either see God and get something from God, or they can see not God, put it that way. They'll see you. And thus, you are judged and will be judged for the attitude that you display to others and the attitude you display towards God. Thus, your attitude will not only affect your own self, but your attitude affects others as well. For improving his word, Brother Branham said, but before we pray for the sick, we've got to get the people in the right attitude. It's the attitude that always brings the results. It's the attitude that you take towards God. Now, as he said, here's a woman that touched his garment. She was healed with a blood issue. But on the other hand, you had the soldiers spit him in the face, and they received nothing. He said, it's your attitude. The attitude is what it takes, and that's what it is tonight, dear friend. It's the attitude. Now, you must ask yourself then, why must we have the right attitude? But remember, it is the attitude that brings the results. If you do not come with the right attitude, you will never be able. You'll never get anything from God except a rebuke and hardship. And that's the way it is with anyone in life. I mean, you all know in raising children that is one of the first things you teach your children is to have a right attitude towards others and to have respect for mom and dad and have respect for authority. And that's the way it is with God. The old moral say you can get more out of bees with honey than with vinegar. And the moral says, well, the point of the story is you know, basically that's what your attitude does. Your attitude will either draw or it'll repel. There's no one that I know that I would rather let me ask you this. How many of you would rather have someone treat you like dirt? How many of you would rather have somebody treat you with respect? All right. If you show respect, you're going to get respect back in return. If you show contempt, you're going to get contempt back in return. You reap what you sow. To have friends, you must show yourselves friendly. Now look, if someone is in need, has a need, and they politely ask, and I usually do what I can to help those out, but as soon as they get uppity and start demanding, that's when I just close up and won't help that person anymore. I've experienced that on the mission field. There are some pastors overseas that we enjoyed helping, but when some of them got uppity and started demanding that we help them and that we owed it to them, I just shut down the whole thing. I mean, it's the attitude. The attitude just either creates an opportunity or creates no opportunity at all. When divine love is projected, Brother Branham said, then when we become a son or daughter of God, your disposition changes. Your attitude changes. Your all, your look towards life and towards others, it changes. You're not the only one living on the planet. And the blessing from God that you receive also affects the people that you associate with. When you're blessed, you become a blessing to others. The atmosphere of blessing that you live under does not just shine over your head. And if it were not for the blessing of God shining upon the elect, the whole world would be under the curse right now. The only thing keeping the whole thing from going down is we're still here. In Deuteronomy 28, as I said, it mentions blessings and cursing. And that's what we can expect to receive depending on our attitude towards God and His Word. If we receive and respect God and His Word, we're blessed. If we don't, we're not. Deuteronomy 28:1 says, and it shall come to pass If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now we had a man called Moses that left Egypt with 2 million people. 2 million people that had been in bondage, 2 million people that had been in slavery. And this man Moses basically went to Pharaoh, and he negotiated with Pharaoh with the backing of God, and he got the people's freedom. And he took these people out, and they had no need for water because the water followed them in that rock. No need for food because God brought down manna every day. Their clothes never wore out. They had it made. They saw the tremendous hand of God in defeating the greatest army on earth, drowning them in the Red Sea. And yet, how many days was it when they wanted to stone Moses? People get fickle. I think right there, God determined he was just going to not let them enter in. And the fact is, and they wandered another 40 years because Moses stood in the breach. Said, don't do it, God, because God was ready to open up the earth and just swallow the whole camp. Moses stood in the breach. That was his attitude. But how many of those people that he stood in the breach for made it? 2 out of 2 million. Because their attitude produced a negativity. They got what they looked for. Notice that we're told that we won't even see the blessings coming until they've come upon us and they've overtaken us. But one day you just wake up and everything seems to be going your way. That's the blessings of God. Now, I don't have time to read you all the blessings, but if you open your Bibles at home and study this chapter and see how the blessings of God, just about in every aspect of your life, are there for you, if only you would hearken diligently unto the Lord your God, to the voice of the Lord your God. But the same holds true for those who will not do so, only the same thing. You are blessed in hearkening, or you become cursed for not hearkening, as we read in verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all of these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. So it lays in your own lap. It lays in your own heart what you're going to do. You see, the results you get depends on what attitude you display towards God and his word. Now remember, your attitude creates an atmosphere. It creates an environment. From God and his people, Brother Bram said, your attitude towards the gift will determine your healing. From the resurrection of Lazarus, he said, why, she knew if God was in Elijah, surely he was in his son. Hallelujah. That's right. There, she said, if I can only get to him, I'll find out the reason my brother died. So she pressed right on through that crowd of unbelievers. And when she got down there to where he was, now look, it seems like, now closely now, I'm going to close in just a minute. See, seems like that he had a right to upbraid, she had a right to upbraid him, doesn't it? Says, well, why didn't you come to my brother? Scolded him. Why didn't you come to my brother? If she would have approached in that attitude, she would have had the miracle, would have never happened. It's your attitude of the reproach, how you're approaching anything. If you come, like on the gift here, you've come to approach the gift in the right way, you've got to approach God in the right way. You can't come and say, now, Lord, looky here, I've been a pretty good fellow. I get some hand-me-downs, but I tell you, I want you to take me tonight and say, no, God don't take you like that. You come God's provided way, or you don't come at all. That's right, that's true. And from the wedding supper, he said, God wants a church that he can lay his hands on. I don't care how little it is, 2 or 3 gather in my name, I'll be there in their midst. Not just speak it. When you say, well, we gather in his name, speaking in the name of Jesus by word is not what he meant. So much as it is the attitude that you're gathered in. It's the environment of the name of Jesus. When you gather in my name, then ask what you will. It's the motive that you come in. The attitude. It's an attitude instead of so much of a calling of the name. Sinners call that name on the street. They curse it and everything else. But it's the environment that you're in, the attitude that you coming in Jesus' name. Like the Bible says, when they talked about him, then he drew near. David said, I've set the Lord always at my right hand because he's there. I will not be moved. So Brother Branham said in a sermon, we would see Jesus. He said, it depends on the attitude that we take. Now, God always sends his gifts and things into a generation, into the churches. And whatever attitude the people take, that's the results of what they get. We know that. God doesn't push himself on anyone. You have to want him. Wow. You've got to want him. And in the sermon, God in Simplicity said, when a minister walks into the congregation of people praying, in the anointing of the Spirit, you're bound to hear from heaven. That's just all. There's no way to keep from it. But if you walk into confusion, then you're so confused and the Spirit is grieved. So you get what you're looking for. If you come to church looking to hear from God, you will. But if you come to find something to criticize, you're going to find that as well. So you see the importance of our attitude and the atmosphere that it creates. As I mentioned last night, we set an atmosphere by the attitude we express by our body language and the tone of our voice and the way that we look and the way we posture our body. Body language means something to people and it means something to God as well. It expresses our attitude. It is an expression of the true nature of our soul. Remember the high priest. They put bells on his garment so that when he was walking and he had to take one step at a time and it was holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. He took another step. Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. And he had to take one step at a time. And when the bell stopped ringing, they knew he had misstepped. And they had a rope tied around him so they could drag him out of there because they couldn't go into the presence. You understand? God is very particular about how you approach. From proving his word, he said, it's the attitude that always brings the results. It's the attitude that you take towards God. Here's a woman touched his garment. She healed. She was healed with a blood issue. And yet, on the other hand, you had the soldier spit in the face. Again, it sounds like the same quote, but it's from a different area. He said, it's your approach. It's the attitude is what it takes. We are and believe that we are in the presence of Jesus Christ, but it's your attitude that brings the results. The mechanics is here. So is the dynamics. If you can just get started, God will do the rest. What's the dynamics? That pillar of fire. He's appearing in the form of the pillar of fire, in the form of the Holy Ghost, getting us ready for the second coming. He is here. His presence is here. He's a supernatural God. Why don't we have a supernatural signature of his presence? Why don't we see the supernatural more often? Because our attitude is not right. Our attitude is not becoming of his presence. So what does it mean if you can just get started? God will do the rest. I believe what he's saying here is not that you can produce anything. But if you do the right thing and say the right thing, it will bring the right results. You see, God will do it for you if your attitude is right. Remember, it's God working in you to will and to do. And after all, God is sovereign. He doesn't have to do anything for anybody. As Brother Branham said, the angel told him, he said, you're making a show of it. But if you go to him with the right attitude, then ask what you will. In John 15:5, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. From God and his people, Brother Branham said, and then as I bring Christ to you, he will be on your hands. And you'll have to answer for what attitude that you took towards it. And if you turned it down or if you accepted it, God will have you to answer for your attitude of this meeting. So you must realize it's a very sacred thing. And not only do we receive what you expect, but you will also be judged for your attitude. It's the attitude that expresses what we are and that you will be judged for. And you will take your attitude with you because your attitude is an expression of your character. It's an expression of your body. It's an expression in your body of the nature of your inner man. And for that, we will all be judged. In closing, number one, our attitude will produce a result. But it depends on what attitude we display. Number two, our attitude does not create an atmosphere, but rather expresses the atmosphere in which we live. It is the expression of the nature of our soul, and thus it creates an atmosphere around you of who you are. You are identified with the attitude that you express. Number three, and thus you are judged and will be judged for the attitude you display to others and the attitude you display towards God. As Brother Branham, he said that, let me try to think of the right words he used. But he said, your attitude toward others could determine their eternal destination. That's the quote. Your attitude toward others could determine their eternal destination. What do you think if Brother Branham had the attitude like the camps do today? Like, I'm not going to go pray for those people. They don't believe. How many people would he pray for? Now think about that. Brother Branham had an attitude that was open toward everyone. He made the circle bigger. He tried to put his arms around all. He was not exclusive. He left the judging up to God. Even Jesus himself, the Son of God, said, I didn't come to judge, but the Word shall judge in the last day. And people think, well, I got the Word, therefore I can judge. That's not what he said. The Word will judge. How does the Word judge? It'll prove out who is and who isn't. Number four, thus your attitude will not only affect your own self, but it will affect the others around you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for your word tonight, knowing that the attitude that your son displayed is what we want. May our attitude be like that of your son, Jesus Christ, who was dedicated, he was consecrated, and he even said, Father, I sanctify myself for them. We saw how Brother Branham sanctified himself. We saw his consecration, and we saw how that attracted us toward his ministry. We ask you, Father, to help us to consecrate ourselves, and may we have the right approach and the right attitude, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine.